a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his own particular task. And he gives orders to the doorkeeper to be constantly alert and on the watch. Therefore, watch. The Amplified says, give strict attention. Be cautious and alert. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. Watch, I say, lest he come suddenly and unexpectedly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to everybody. Give strict attention, be cautious, active, alert, and watch. All right, now we're going to notice here that there are some servants in charge. And each one has a particular job. And he gives orders to the doorkeeper. The point is to watch. Watch. The author says it would seem as if this was an abbreviated form of the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:14-30. Ellicott suggests that we might have here an imperfect fragmentary report, as from a note taken at that time of that which appears in a devout form in the talent. I personally do not believe that particular statement, because I think when we take into consideration here that he's writing the book of Luke mostly as showing Christ as the servant, and Christ definitely makes it that the servant is not greater than the master. Now, if Christ is the servant, and yet he was the master, we can definitely see where he wants to emphasize the fact here of the servant. All right. There are one or two added aspects, however, that seem to suggest that this brief parable, while resembling the talents, is yet distinct from it, and was one which, like the parable of the growing seed, Mark observed and records. The chief design of this parable is, of course, similar to the talents, namely, the promotion of watchfulness on the part of the Lord's people during his absence. All right, the man taking the far journey, no question as to who he is the Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of Mankind, who at his ascension left his own, giving them all authority to witness for him. The added feature here is the phrase, and commanded the porter to watch. And commanded the porter to watch. Who are we to understand by the porter? A figure and feature unique in our Lord's parables. The servant we accept at once as the 12, and then the wider application to all the disciples. What I say unto you, those first disciples Jesus was speaking to in private. And while we use the word disciples here, I want us not to forget that these are those in the New Testament church who are staying close to the Lord, carrying out what the Lord commissions them to do. All right. What I say unto you, those first disciples Jesus was speaking to in private, I say unto all, now don't forget that, I say unto all who since those first disciples have become servants of the Lord. Now, for instance, the last few days I've heard from several angles from the public news media, World War III, and intimation is pretty strong that we may well be in the beginning of World War III. Now, Bible scholars that I've read somewhat after believe that World War III will wind up in Armageddon. All right. Now, I realize, for instance, that an ex-president by the name of Nixon has written an article and has been published somewhere. And he is raising the question, are we in the beginning of World War III? So, we'll have to say that man was pretty wise as to the international situation. And I don't think he lost any of that, though he did lose a whole lot. Now, you ask the question, why are you bringing that up? Now, I don't know. And I don't know anybody that can be absolutely sure that we are. But this much is true, we're all told to watch. Watch for what? Now, there are some main signs that the Lord spoke of his return, particularly with the Olivet aspect in view, when he comes to the Mount of Olives. But we want to keep in mind that the Lord's return actually covers a period of time, that is, the events here on earth involved in that. And as far as I'm concerned, the first event and the Lord's coming is when he comes into the air. And personally, I think he comes into the air before what is known as the tribulation, the great, breaks forth upon the earth. All right. So this is very applicable to you and to me right now, is to be well aware of what is involved. Now, for instance, I got a hold of this book. This is one I said I had two copies of. But I'm reading and marking the other one. The point I wanted to know was what he had to say about Revelation chapter 4, especially with reference to the command to John, come up hither and I'll show you things that must come after these things. After what things? Evidently, after the messages to the seven churches. Now, there are quite a few prophetic writers that I've read concerning say now that evidently, when John told to come up hither, that means the church. Now, this author does not take that position. John was still on the Isle of Patmos. But in vision, he was seeing things above what had been shown him on earth. First, he'd send the Christ in glory. Then were the messages to the seven churches, and then the 19th chapter, the 19th verse of the first chapter. The Lord gives the time elements of things involved in the book of Revelation. Now, you may not believe this, but as far as I'm concerned, if you don't follow that, the book of Revelation is the biggest puzzle that you've ever seen. But the key to that, as far as I can see it, and I mostly, what little I know, I've learned it from somebody else. those things coming after these things, or after the messages to the seven churches and the closing out of the church age, then he sees these things, the vision in heaven, and the first thing he sees there is someone sitting on a throne, the Ancient of Days. And there are 24 thrones with some fellows on those thrones, 24 of them. Well, this writer gives the best discussion that I've ever heard on the background of the 24. I forget how many thousand of priests there were, but there were 20, they were broken down into 24 orders, with each order representing all that were in that order. And so it seems logical that we see here in these 24 a representative of the church in glory. Now, these 24 had on diadems of victory, those crowns that they had on, I think, give us the key to it. But they were victory crowns. Now then, Christ says, because you've been faithful over a few things, I will make you what? All right. I think there we see the church in glory. When we see the seven scroll book, which I think, and I really think that because I got it from Dr. Conry Glover, among some others, that is the title deed to the earth that man lost in Adam. It's got seven seals, and those seals must be broken, and which amounts to judgment upon the earth, to the usurpers of God's earth. And I believe the glorified church is there watching that thing when it happens. All right. Else, why does he say watch? Now it comes down to this, that there are some preliminary signs leading up to these other things, and I think they may well be in the church age ending time. And there's a pretty good list of those, particularly in studying a little book that I have from Olivet to Armageddon. There are seven distinct signs that are given that look like may be given to the churches while they're still on earth. But the point I want us to note this, what I say unto you, I say unto all, and that takes in this whole age, folk, and especially at this present time. And we got from the parable of the 10 virgins that the whole bunch of them got pretty sleepy. They all began to knock. Now, there's a lot of people don't want to hear you point out the possibilities of what we are facing or what it's going to lead to. They just don't want to hear it. But mind you, the servant is not greater than the master. And the master commands here, I say unto all. But who specifically was the porter or the gatekeeper who was likewise commanded to watch? Our Lord used the same figure of speech in his parable of the shepherd and his fold, John 10:3. Now, folk, listen, we get a little key right here. Always try to interpret the Bible with the Bible. And when you try to interpret the Bible with the Bible, try to find like things. Something that's gone before. Now, a number of years ago, I saw a book listed on the symbols of Revelation telling you where they are in the other parts of the Bible. I've got it, but I've never had time to go into it. And so the symbols of Revelation, I felt like for a long time that a lot of people have been taking a lot of freedom of saying it means this, it means that, and it means the other. But I believe if we're studious enough, we will find something in the background in the Bible that help unlock the key whenever these symbols are used. All right, now this is just one of the little keys right here. The porter or the gatekeeper. And he used this same figure of speech in John 10:3 of the shepherd and his fold. Brethren, this puts some responsibility upon the pastor of a church. This puts some responsibility upon the pastor of a church. All right, now I'll be honest with you sometimes, brethren. When I get to suffering pain, physical pain and some mental pain and some spiritual pain and so on, sometimes I just kind of halfway wish that I didn't see probably what I might be seeing. Because when you see things like that, it puts you on alert. And when it puts you on alert, it makes you want to try to wake up somebody else. And now let me tell you, there's a lot of heavy sleepers today.
Yes, sir.
And the missionary Baptist past ranks, ministerial ranks, and a whole lot more of them out there in the pews. And one reason is simply they've been kind of rocked to sleep. I don't have a watch, am I right? Okay, I think I got time to tell this. Years ago, well, when I was a kid, Crossett Lumber Company had lumber camps scattered all over that country. There was one within 3 miles of where we lived. And one of the common things of all those logging camps and so on was the commissary. You know what a commissary is? Well, later on, they got to building some YMCA buildings in each camp. I know there was another one, the last one they had before they quit. They had a good building there, YMCA, with a basketball court and a shower bath. Oh, I stayed with my cousin up there sometime, and we liked to wash ourselves away one day, good and hot. We'd go up there and take us a shower. Get out and get hot and go back and take another one and so on. But the old commissary at this first camp was about the only place where the men had a place together after they came in from work. And so they'd sit on the counter till it got just really aggravating when somebody wanted to buy something. The clerk couldn't get to him, and a customer could hardly get to the clerk. So the fellow who was the head of the commissary drove a lot of nails through the top of this counter. And he went out and got him an old Model T Ford Coil. And then he went and got him an old 6-volt hot shot battery. And he wired this, all those nails sticking on the bottom of that. Well, when the men had come in, and all sit down on the counter and really get to talking, he'd slip back and throw the switch. Some of them would jump, and some of them would know the trick being pulled, and they'd just slide off, you know, like that. But he broke up there sitting on the counter. Now, I think that'd be a pretty good idea in principle to do it some churches. Drive some nails, at least figuratively, to where you wake them up out there. But I'll tell you what. First thing needs to be done is about a 24-volt tied to one of the preacher.
Yeah, we do it first.
Wake him up first. All right. The porter, the gatekeeper, the shepherd and his flock. Now, several writers feel that Peter answers to the description of the gatekeeper because of the promise made him of having the keys of the kingdom, Matthew 16 and 19. It was the apostles' work to open the door of that kingdom wide, both to Jews and Gentiles, and we know that that happened, and to declare the necessity of being ready for the Lord's return. Read 1st and 2nd Peter. See if you don't find that. In a wider sense, it is the solemn and privileged task of all ministers of the word to act as porters and warn God's people of approaching crises. Now, years ago, I was teaching here the evening class, and I'm on the book of Revelation. And one member, dear lady, still living, said, "I just don't really like that because I don't know, I don't want to know what's coming." Well, you know what? Some of those people in Wichita Falls last year would have liked to know a little more beforehand before that tornado struck through there. And they still strike through that part of the country. And I believe in New Orleans, in 24 hours, they've had 15 inches of rain. So much rain there now that they say it's done got up and covering the bar stools and the honky tonks. by the way, there may be somebody going to drive a little bit on alcohol. But there's warning the people, the water moccasins are coming out of the bowls. And slimming around through there, and there never were very many rattlesnakes in our part of the country, and we didn't like them. But there's another snake that was equally as dangerous in the part of the country I came from, and that was the water moccasin. They were very poisonous, you believe. And I imagine some of those old water moccasins is kind of scaring the daylights out of some of them. So maybe some of them are seeing the real thing and not what they've been seeing because of the brain being pickled in alcohol and beer.
They interview those people. I know it's on the news, but they don't know what they're going to do.
Sir?
They interviewed a few last night on the news. I was watching them. And they was wading waist deep by leaving their home, carrying what they could.
Yeah.
The man said, I don't know what's going to happen to us. We lost our home, everything we got.
That's right. Calamity is coming, folks. Now listen, these things are in accord, by the way. I was noticing somewhere right here. It doesn't come to my mind right now. But among the things that are going to happen, the Amplified here stretches it on out and says many kinds of calamities. Okay, let's look right down here. If you've ever been to Lake Elsinore, we used to go down there quite a bit, camp down there. And Brother Phillipson, he gave me that boat that time. That's the first place we went to try it out. And bless your soul, that thing's flooded out down there. I forget how many feet high it got. Of course, they're measuring from sea level. And they're not going to let these people go back in there and build below a certain point sea level. About 100 years ago, before one, since one came through there. But one has come. Well, calamities, one kind and another. And I'm going to tell you something else. Have you ever heard of as many little children being murdered? Just all the time. All right. So then, in a wider sense, it is the solemn and privileged task of all ministers of the Word to act as porters and warn God's people of approaching crises. The master or lord of the house is the master himself, who will return as suddenly as he disappeared. Now, I don't think this is talking about when they see the sign in heaven and every eye shall behold it. I think that's when he comes to the Mount of Olives. But here's when he comes into the air. An allusion to four Roman watches of the night, beginning at 9 p.m., 12 midnight, 3 a.m., and 6 a.m., may be found in even, midnight, cock crowing, and morning. Each of the season named has had its counterpart, we may well believe, embracing many centuries of the world's history. The sudden return of the master of the house is a kind of echo of the two parables, the talents and the wise and the foolish virgins. At this end time period of the age of grace, or the church age, it is more imperative than ever to watch and to function as true porters. Now get this, folks. To watch and to function as true porters. As we look out upon the disordered condition of the world, it would appear that the day cannot be far distant when he who promised to return will come and not tarry. Can we say that we are ready to hail him? Now just let me point out that. When have you known that a religious leader, a lone one, and evidently one's crazy too, at least Sadat says he is, he's a lunatic. But what's he doing? He's got the United States standing at bay. And the rest of the world's afraid to move because they might run a hot box if they don't get this oil. Have you ever seen a time when that could happen like it's happened? And just what's going to be the aftermath of this? And there is going to be. You know, having the little trouble with the other little country adjacent to Iran. What's the one?
Iraq.
Iraq. Now, Iraq is the place of old Babylon. Iran is old Persian territory. And Iran is saying that the United States is stirring up this trouble in Iraq. Well, I don't know whether they're lying or not when they say that. Come in. But the point simply is this, folks. One of these days when there's enough turmoil all going over there and they're slashing each other's throat, old Russia's going to make a move for a certain spot. According to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And brother, that's the one that I'm watching for. Now, scholars are divided. Waldron, for instance, sees a battle prior to the tribulation. But he also sees a remnant of Russian soldiers within the Armageddon Wars, what they're calling it now. Now, whether that's all right or not, I don't know. I mention them, and I hope that it kind of stirs you up, the point that you will begin to study more deeply on this than you have before. My wife got asked me this morning about, if you wasn't so impatient, you wouldn't have two of these books on hand. You want to know what? I don't bring this out here this morning. I said, well, I got a purpose. And she went on and said, I'm going to tell you, so you make people think we're rich around here. The number of books you're giving away. Well, what am I doing it for? Brother, I'd rather do that than to send a bullet to wake anybody up. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. And so, we need to be awakened. We need to be awakened. Now, mind you, I sent in a list. I believe I put your name on it the other day to receive Christianity Today. Now, the only reason for that is this. That's the only paper that, together with Moody Monthly, that I can get the lowdown on the apostates of the apostates. Because they're telling it on them. And I want to know all of it and that I can get a hold of it. Well, why? My wife says, boy, you can dig up more stuff. You're right. And he preached to them, that you see.
Just studied that later, you know.
Right. He preached right to those Roman soldiers so much that the gospel even got preached in Caesar's household.
Yeah.
Now, brother, there's the thing. And the point is this. Well, let's see, I told you my little story about the button goat, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, no, neither.
I forgot that.
Huh? You done forgot that? That fella had an old goat that was out butting his thing ever was. He decided, I'm going to cure that rascal. So he went and got an old sledgehammer and hung it by a rope up to a limb of a tree. And he got the old goat's attention, and he's got that sledgehammer started swinging. And the goat saw it and go-wham! 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 And he said, all day long that goat butted that sledgehammer. And he said every time and in the night, for a good long time, he could hear wham, wham. And he got up the next morning, they said there wasn't a thing in the world left of that goat with his little old tail. And there it was striking at that time. All right. Now, that's kindly.
You can never get through to the goat.
That's kind of what we ought to be, fellas.
Striking.
Just keep striking at it. Just keep on at it. As long as we've got breath, keep on at the job as long as you are. A lot of people, I don't know how some of these preachers that still walk can retire. What's worrying me, and praise both my feet's getting where I can't even walk on crutches. And I don't know what I'm going to do. May the Lord take me on home before that time comes. But the wonderful point right there, as we warn the people here, as we look out, what we are warning them for is because we know that something glorious is about to happen for us. But I would like for as many to wake up. And a lot of them are lost. And a lot of God's children, I'm afraid the only thing they're going to get is a hot dog.